Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Celebrity Big Brother Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I am here today with Chantel. How are you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here and kind of get a little bit more of this cathartic release of rating these players. So I'm excited to see how it goes and see if like what I wrote down is going to be influenced by your two arguments. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out.
All right. And of course, also with us is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
Not so great, Aaron, I'll tell you. Yesterday's episode was really not fun. I did not have a good time watching that. I was very upset the whole time. But I agree with Chantel. Like this, we need that cathartic release, really, because, you know, last night after the episode, Dennis and I were, you know, it was Valentine's Day. Dennis and I were like making Valentine's Day dinner. And I'm sitting there like with Rob Has Podcast in the background, like, Dennis, I'm sorry. I know we want to like listen to like romantic music, but like right now I really need to hear people's reactions to like what happened. And I just like made him listen to it with me. But it was worth it because, you know, it's good to hear other people kind of like venting and feeling the same way that you're feeling. It was just really hard to watch the whole thing go down. And then also to know like what Shayna has going on the outside, it's kind of like, oh, that's not a great fun thing to come home to on Valentine's Day, especially after she's like shouting out her boyfriend and stuff. So it's really just like not great all around. And I think part of it is like, you know, it's not, it came from such like a stupid, I don't know, maybe it's the idea that like we were feeling such highs and then to like immediately be like just thrown to the ground, like low, even lower, you know,
Lolo Jones,
if you will. I just feel like, you know, if we're going to be disappointed, it's easier to be like feeling bad the whole time rather than like, yeah, Carson won world, like, you know, whatever. And it's just, we were all so thrilled to immediately have those hopes dashed by the, you know, opposition. It's kind of like the underdogs finally got power and once again squandered it. So all in all, to sum it up, not a great week so far.
Yeah, that's that was a lot. I just asked you how you're doing. Jeez.
Well, I'm so bad about that, Karen.
Well, this is, of course, the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds and we rate the players based on how well they're doing in the game. I also sent out a survey today on Twitter where you can rate the players yourselves, you audience. You still have a little bit of time left. The survey closes in 17 minutes. So you have 17 minutes to get your answers in if you want to do so. We'll be rating these players based on how well they're doing and rating the episodes, ranking your favorites, all kinds of fun things here to do on tonight's podcast. But yes, what we have to talk about is that the last time we talked, Misha was the HOH and she was targeting Carson. And it was looking like if Carson doesn't win that veto, he's probably on his way out the door. And then boom, Shayna wins the veto. She saves Carson. And then boom, Carson wins the next HOH. And as Melissa said, there's hope.
Well, would you look at this? There's a new sheriff in town.
A new sheriff in town.
Things are going to start changing around here.
Things are going to start changing. Let's go. All right.
For the worst.
Yeah, really changing for the worst. Taryn, you're making me depressed. I guess it's just, you know, I just felt like when I heard that, like when I saw that Carson had won, I was so happy. I was thrilled. I literally was watching the competition on my laptop. And then I was like, I need to take a shower, but the competition's almost over. Okay, I'm just going to like put my laptop like right next to the shower. So I'm like sit in the shower and then I'm like, I hear like some clapping and I was like, Dennis, get in here. Check the feeds. And he's like, what's going on? And I was like, who won? Somebody won. He's like, yeah, someone won. I was like, who? He's like, I don't know. Who are these people? Who do you want to win? I was like, I want Carson to win. Who is it? And he's like, yeah, Carson won. I was like, oh my God. I literally had him like, I was like, this is a critical moment. I need you to tweet this out. I like had him tweet for me because I was just so excited. And I just felt like, you know, on top of the world, I was so thrilled and he was happy for me, even though he had no idea what was going on. And yeah, it ended up sucking. So not great. And I think part of it also is like, I can absolutely respect big moves like that. Like if we remove all of the other stuff from the equation, what Todrick did is super impressive. I mean, like it shouldn't have worked. It shouldn't not have all. Made sense. So like the fact that he did that is, I mean, it's amazing. However, I would say the thing that taints it for me and makes it so that I can't enjoy it is the personal nature of it. That's not game, that's personal. And to sit there and, you know, critique her outfits and what she wears and to say, you know, like make attacks on her character and say that she hasn't done anything to deserve to be on Celebrity Big Brother. Like, I mean, come on. All that sort of stuff, it ruins it because it's not about strategy at that point. It's just like about personal attacks. And I can't get behind that sort of gameplay. I really don't like it. And, you know, couple that with what Todrick, you know, did with Chris Kirkpatrick and the way he's treated others in the house. I don't love it. And even though he did a good move, it doesn't make me like him. It really sours the whole thing for me because I can't enjoy it. I would love to enjoy this move. I would love to be impressed by it. But, you know, the only people it benefits is, you know, Todrick and Misha, and, you know, the people who it doesn't benefit, Cynthia and Carson. Like I was rooting for Cynthia and Carson. Now I'm not rooting for Todrick and Misha because of like the personal nature of the way this has turned out. Not rooting for Todd either because of the personal nature of the way that he has behaved. So like, I guess I'm rooting for Lamar as the only viable option at this point. It's just sad because you want to root for good gameplay, you know?
And I think what's also really like upsetting, because like I agree with you, I thought that the move was, if you take all that other stuff away from it, was a good move, and it's pretty impressive that he was able to execute this. But I also don't enjoy kind of how he's playing on the emotions of mm-hmm. Cynthia and Carson. Like, he knows that that's going to work, and saying these certain things and just like the manipulative nature of how he's using this information, because he knows Carson on a personal level, like it just makes it a little bit icky. And mm-hmm. I know that Carson and Cynthia are going to be mortified when they leave the house to see like the lengths that they actually went to get them to make these moves. And I feel like it's going to really hurt their feelings. And that doesn't feel good to me. It's not a good move when it's like I feel like someone's being taken advantage of and made to look a fool. So it's kind of takes away the fun out of it being like a really great strategic mastermind move. It's kind of like, icky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It feels like, you know, it's, I guess it shouldn't be that surprising that time and time again, the people that are best at manipulating others in the Big Brother house also happen to be pretty mean. A lot of the time, like if you really stop down and think about it, like we shouldn't be that surprised. Like, we do get like the diamonds in the rough, on occasion, like the Dan Gieslings that's mm-hmm. like nothing personal. This is all game. But it seems like more often than not at this point, like, the people that are the most effective also tend to have a little bit of, like, man, I wish you were just nicer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's true, because you want to root for someone. I guess like the whole thing for me is like I boil it down to like, well, this is a game. Like, this is supposed to be a game. And I don't agree with the idea of like, well, this is a game. You have to be, you know, but you still have to like be honest and, you know, have your integrity. Like, I feel like it's a game. Like, you should be able to, you know, lie or, you know, make stuff up, whatever, that's fine. But I think like the second personal stuff starts getting brought into it, like stuff outside the game or stuff about someone's character or whatever, like that sort of thing is like, okay, that's not about strategy. That's not about like who benefits you in this game or like how this can help your position or whatever. Like that just is like personal stuff. And I don't like to see that brought in because I do feel like it really, yeah, like you guys were saying, it's icky. It taints the game for me. Like, I don't want to see people, you know, it hurts to watch at a certain point. You know, you don't want to see someone be hurt like that. I don't know. And like the idea that this whole nonsense about like, oh, now that Shane is gone, this house feels so much better. Like the cleanse of this house to get this bad energy out. It's like, what are you talking about? The only time that she was quote unquote bad energy was when she just didn't want to hang around you guys because of all like the nastiness. Like that's not bad energy. Like the bad energy is still there and it's coming from you, you know, like you can't just pretend like, oh, thank God she's gone. And now the bad energy is gone. And you can't like, no matter how many times you say that, it's not going to make it true.
Yeah. By the way, was it this gif of people jumping up and down? Was that the dentist tweet?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I didn't have him actually say anything, but I did have to explain to him the hashtag. I literally like, hashtag CCCUS3. He's like, what is all this?
I'm sorry. I didn't get that. Can you please repeat?
Yeah. He literally, I was like, it was actually kind of funny. I was like, Dennis, search GIFs, search people jumping up and down, search jumping, celebrating, search. And he kept like typing people.
And you're in the shower still while you're screaming.
Literally in the shower. And he's like, how about a gif of three people jumping up and down or jumping off of a bounce beat or something? I was like, no. I want like celebration. Type in celebration, jump. Type in people jumping. Like I literally had so many different searches. Eventually he found one and I was just like, okay, that's fine. Just do it. Just send it.
There you go.
Yeah, but it was worth it.
It was
at the time. Now I don't know if it was worth it because I like immediately wanted to take it back. But you know, whatever.
It worked. It worked eventually.
It worked.
So that's kind of that is the state of Celebrity Big Brother right now, where there's this weird sense of the game was pretty good. I mean, the move was good. Like, things happened and it's been, you know, things have been shifting in that sense. Mm-hmm. But it feels a little, and also the shift was like sort of back to status quo rather than, oh, things are going to change. This is a new sheriff in town. And then they just changed right back,
right,
to what they were before. And it's really been like the self implosion of any, you know, it's because like Todrick and Misha, they're just winning competitions and, just hanging out playing solitaire. And it just feels like Chris Kirkpatrick is backdooring himself. Shayna's, taking out her closest ally. Carson's taking out his closest, one of his closer allies. And it's just like, what is, everyone's just like taking it. It's the Mario Party thing. Luigi's just standing on the ball, just like, mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, you can't even get excited about it. Cause it's just like, wait, why did you do this? What's going on? And like, and also it just, I don't know. It also, the other thing is that like, at the very least, if this had to have happened, the good thing to come out of it maybe would have been like, well, you know, at least we could see Cynthia and Carson realize that they made a mistake. Like, at least they can be like, oh no, now we're on the block again or whatever. But the problem is the second Shayna left, they were like, I don't even care if I go on the block. We just had to get her out. We had to show her that you can't play that way. So it doesn't even matter what happens to us now. I'm willing to go home because, you know, we just had to show that, you know, you have to play with integrity. And, you know, Shayna wasn't playing with integrity. It's like, okay, so like, oh, this was for nothing then? Or like what? Like it wasn't even like, oh, we think we'll better our position or something with making this move. It was just like, no, we just want to teach her a lesson or something. And it was like, okay, so now you guys are just like comfortable with going home. Like, and the whole thing, it infuriates me. Like, honestly, the whole idea of like, I'd much rather play with the devil I know rather than the devil I don't know. Or like, I'd much rather play with someone who I know is against me versus someone who's against me some of the time. It's like, why though? Like, get out the person who you know is going to be against you. Like, why wouldn't you want to do that? Like, every single time, Misha is going to be against you. And Shayna, oh, maybe at one point was like playing both sides and then just then absolutely definitively chose your side by going against the other side of the house to save you off the block. And you're sitting there saying like, yeah, well, you know, not good enough because at one point you talked to them. It's like, what more could you want? It infuriates me because it just makes me like, it's just stupidity. It's like, how can you not see? Like, and it's not even like, because I was trying to explain it to my mom today. She like wasn't understanding why they wanted to get Shayna out. And I was like, there is no reason. Like, there's no logic behind it. Like, I can't even be like, but you know, it makes sense because they from their perspective, like, you know, Misha is actually an ally of theirs. No, Misha's not an ally of theirs. They know that. They think maybe they can make a deal with her for like, what, 1 week? But even so, Shayna was going to work with them. Like, my mom was like, how can they not see that she took them off the block? Like, what was their logic when she said I took them off the block? I was like, there is no logic. There's none. Like, I can't explain it to you because there's no logic behind it. Like, if someone saves you and takes you off the block, that should mean way more than somebody being like, oh, yeah, she actually met with us a few weeks ago and we had like a final four. It's like, yeah, but she just went absolutely against you in front of the whole house. So it's, I'm very not thrilled.
I think one of the biggest problems is the fact that Cynthia and Carson don't care about winning. And they think that Misha and Todrick are in the same, like, oh, we don't care about winning either. We just want to be here with integrity. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins competition just wins competition. We're going against each other, but it's just going to be a fair and even game, like back and forth. This is how it's going to go.
Right.
And anybody that's positioning themselves to potentially do better in the game is the bad person because, like, no, you can't want to win the game. You have to only see how the chips fall and then maybe win the game. And so I think that that's why Shayna came off as the bad person in their eyes, because she was intentionally doing things to position herself to play better. And they're like, no, you're supposed to just like stick with us and hope that we win power and take out our opposition.
Yeah, the logic of like, oh, well, but you made that move for yourself. It's like,
yeah, he's like,
what is everybody else doing? Like, aren't you supposed to be making moves for yourself? Like, that's the whole point of the game. Like, the fact that they think that there's like logic behind it, but they can't explain it to anyone. And it all just boils down to the fact that they like think that they're being good people by getting her out. I don't know. And it makes me very upset because it just doesn't make any sense. I just can't get behind it. And I feel like a lot of moves I can like understand the logic behind, or at least I'd attempt to. And this one, I just cannot see it. There is no logic. They're bad players. Todrick and Misha, they made the right call. And honestly, like Misha didn't really do much about it, to be honest. It was really just Todrick. And Todrick, it was very impressive. Yet, I think it was really dirty. I don't think it was a clean move. And so I can't sit there and applaud it and be like, yes, Todrick's such an amazing player, because it feels wrong. And I get that we're all like, oh, well, what do you care about integrity to the players? And then on the outside, we're like, that's not playing with integrity. But it's like, it's just the personal stuff. It feels wrong. It doesn't feel like in the spirit of the game. It feels bad.
Yeah, I feel like it's another example, and I think we see it time and time again, of people in the house just classifying somebody as enemy. You're an enemy, and it's less what she did and just more that she is now the enemy. It's like, I mean, you did a bunch of things. Remember those things you did? Like you suck. And how that just turns off your empathy, and you are just, you start treating them in a way that is kind of gross. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd think that the fan base would learn from that, but the fan base does it too, like all the time. You know, And it's something that, that, you know, we get to watch the details of how this happens, of just like, you've been convinced, these are the pieces of evidence, and now that person is garbage, and, we hate them, and we will, be as cruel to them as humanly possible, because that is the only humane thing to do at this point. Like, it's wild how that works. And the thing is that, you know, depending on maybe who you were thinking about when I said that, you're either like, yeah, that's terrible, or no, but in this case, it's right. And that's the problem, right? Mm-hmm. Because in Carson and Cynthia's case right now, they're like, well, in this case, it's right, but it's not, they're wrong. And that's dangerous.
Yeah. They've somehow also like convinced themselves that Shayna was the bad guy. Like that Todrick's like, like the things that he's told Carson and Cynthia about Shayna, like, are actually true, and that she is a bad person, and that she is playing a dirty game, and that she is this and that. And so, like, because of that, they are the good guys, and that the internet and America is going to see that she was the bad guy, and that we're they'll be grateful that we got her out because, you know, she's so bad. And it's just, it is very weird to see. And this happens many seasons, you know, where people are convinced that like they're the good guys. And so because they're the good guys, it gives them free rein to do whatever to the quote unquote bad guys. And I guess maybe it's like main character syndrome, where everyone thinks that they're like the hero of their own story. And so like, I can't imagine me going into that house and being, and like doing bad things because I'm like, well, I'm the good guy. Like,
you would say that you're the bad guy.
Yeah. You'd think you'd notice like, oh, I'm the one doing all these bad things. I must not be the good guy, but like, you just must believe that you're the hero. And so you just like, convince yourself that everything you're doing is in furtherance of the hero's goal. And instead it's like, wait, you're actually the bad guy. I don't know.
Well, I do think that Carson is kind of like trying to, I don't think that Carson's fully convinced that what they did was the right thing to do. Cause even after he's like, oh, I'm glad that, you know, Misha, that you explained, what went down so that people would understand like why we were voting her out. Cause I think he was just kind of like, I don't know this game. And if they're telling me that what she was doing is bad and wrong for the game and we have to get her out because of this, they know better than me. So I guess I have to do that. And so, okay, I'm glad you explained that to like the audience, because I don't even understand why we voted her out, because I think it was maybe a bad idea, but you tell me that it's a good idea. So
yeah, like, but if you're telling America it's the right move, then I know it's the right move. So like, I'm glad. And then like when they were like, well, when America gets out and sees, you know, that we were telling the truth, it's like, but you weren't, this is all fake. Okay. It just is like, and it was bad to see like the second she leaves the house, it's just like a bash session. And it's just like, they all were just like being mean to her. And it just, it doesn't sit well.
This is a psychological phenomenon that happens where, if your belief is challenged, sort of like a superficial challenge, not like a deep, you know, structural foundational conversation, but just chat, like your belief is challenged, instead of, you know, accepting the challenge or like, considering other viewpoints, you tend to go in the opposite direction. You know, whether or not it's, you know, challenged with facts or, like good evidence against your point of view, you will actually go further into your viewpoint and, get more defensive and more, you believe it even more. And you know, in the Big Brother house, when Shayna is arguing her case or when Shayna is doing things or when any moment that, you know, Carson has, an inkling of doubt, the instinct there is to then speak out loud, like, well, she sucks for this reason though. And wasn't that thing she just did on her way out the door, that's the proof that I need. That's the proof that I need in this moment. That proves that she was, and that was such a terrible thing to do. And then as the doubt creeps in again, well, no, but then the way she dresses really too, if you think about it, definitely proves that she was really
blonde
bad
hair.
And so we see this, it's a very cyclical thing, and it just digs and digs and digs. And you see how somebody even like Carson, like who would have imagined that Carson would fall victim to something like this, but he is deep in it at this point. And
it's like a cult.
It is. I mean, it's a cult of your own mind, really. I mean, it's scourge. It's terrible. It ruins all things in society.
Yeah. It's also hard. Kool-Aid. Like you would think that, especially for these celebrities, like, okay, it's one thing when you're in the house for like, whatever, 90 days. And you're just like, you forget that the cameras are there and you're just like living your life. And then like, you forget that everything you say is, can be seen by people maybe, or at least that's what they say. But these celebrities have been in the house for like, what, like 2 weeks. I feel like you would think you'd still be like kind of aware of that, the fact that the cameras are there. And also like you're used to having cameras around and like maintaining an image and like making sure that you're, you know, presenting yourself well. And you'd think that like they would be more attuned to that. Like, oh,
but that's what encourages them to speak out even more, because they think that every time they say it out loud, they're convincing the audience just as much as they're convincing themselves.
Right.
And in reality, they're just digging themselves a deeper hole.
It's true. Yeah, because I'm sure they're like, yeah, but did you see this or that? Yeah, but when she said this, it's like, we're sitting there thinking, stop talking about her. She's out of the house. Stop. Mm-hmm.
And they're thinking, well, I just convinced that last person that still didn't think so.
Yeah, like we're all sitting here like, but why? And they're
this
like,
is the point.
But you need to understand, like we didn't maybe mention this part. It's like, no, we don't need to hear any more of it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff. This is why I am such a fan of Big Brother, really. That even in the darkest moments, right? There's still stuff to learn and to sort of examine in how people behave in the house. And that is, you know, interesting to me.
Social experiment of it all, right?
Truly. Mm-hmm. Of course, Carson, he took out Shayna. He did it. And then Todd won the following HOH. Now this morning on the update, I said that Todd had mentioned to Misha that the plan would be for Carson to go up on the block as the target. And if Carson won the veto, that perhaps Lamar would be the replacement and perhaps the target as well, and that Cynthia would probably end up on the block next to Carson initially. However, those were not completely set in stone plans, and by this morning, Todd had come up with an alternative idea. He approached Todrick and Todd about it, that he was thinking, okay, what if I use a pawn? Because if I use a pawn, then if Carson wins the veto, I can say to Carson, if you take yourself down, Cynthia will replace you, and then we will vote Cynthia out. So this is a way for them to convince Carson to not use the veto, even if he wins. And that's the idea. And so he pitched this to Todrick and Lamar. Todrick was like, no, this is a terrible idea. And then Todd said, no, it's Lamar that I would be using as a pawn. And then Todrick said, oh, that's a great idea. That's a best case scenario, actually.
Oh my God. Of course.
That's genuinely what happened. And Lamar was also like, yeah, I'm cool with it because I don't care if I leave. So, you know, it's a win-win scenario. If I go home, then, yay. If I don't, then whatever.
Isn't Lamar our only hope now?
Lamar is our only hope. And like, this is what we get for that. Thanks.
God. Yeah. So the plan changed, and the plan became Carson and Lamar are going to go up on the block. Carson was pretty happy about this. He was like, oh, this means, Cynthia, that if you win the veto, you can save me and we'll both be safe, which is true.
It's true.
But the real question is, if these nominations remain the same, and these nominations have, in fact, gone into place. Carson and Lamar are nominated for eviction. If they stay that way, you would imagine that Carson is the one to go. However, there's been a little bit of drama between Lamar and Todrick that we'll also talk about that could imply that maybe they'll have the idea, Todrick and Misha, who control the votes, three votes total. They have two. they could decide, you know what, Carson is going to stick to a Final Four deal. Lamar's been talking about coming after us and he's pissing me off. So they could just vote Lamar out at this point. And then you also have the consideration that if Carson does win the veto and he doesn't listen to the idea that, like, don't use it on yourself because we'll put up Cynthia, that he could still use it on himself. Cynthia could go up. And then at that point, you probably again go, well, I'd probably prefer Lamar leave than Cynthia at this point. He's a bigger threat and he's actually coming for us.
Why wouldn't Carson just use it on himself? Like, I mean, yes, Cynthia goes up, but who cares? I don't know. Like, I feel like I get that he wants her to stay as well, but would he, I mean, I guess is his intention to have her stay over him?
I think for Carson, a bigger win than actually winning the game would be to, like, go out protecting his friend, doing an honorable thing. You know what I mean?
God. I'm just, you saying that makes me so mad. Like, it just hearing that, like, yeah, to do the honorable thing of protecting his friend. It's like, what are we doing here? Let's think for a second. What are we doing here? Because what is any of this for? Like, why? Why? We've got, like, the worst cast. Like, okay, sorry, everyone, but no one was thrilled about the cast. Like, yeah, I sat there being like, guys, what were you expecting? But, like, I also, like, wasn't thrilled by it, but I wasn't thinking I was going to be. So, like, okay, fair and square. You give us a cast that we don't like. Fine. Whatever. We expected that from you guys at this point. So we have a cast we don't care about. No, none of the celebrities that were like, oh, these are celebrities that we want to see. We want to know their personalities. We want to get to know them in a house. We want to see them play Big Brother. No, we don't. We don't care. So we already have a cast we don't care about. So get that out of our minds that we're going to have something fun there. So at least, at the bare minimum, maybe we could get some, like, cast members who actually want to play, who actually care about the game. Oh, no, we don't. Because the game starts up. We already have, like, five people who just want to go home and are like, can I be put on the block, please? It's like everybody's trying to leave. Okay, so we already have that. The rest of the cast, like, doesn't care about the game, doesn't know about the game, are asking questions about, like, can the veto player, like, play it on themselves? What's going on here? So nobody knows about it. They didn't even go through, like, any sort of training or any sort of, like, let me watch the season. Maybe they went through it, but they certainly didn't care about it. So we don't have anybody who cares. Then we have, like, two people who care about it, and yet they're awful. And we don't, like, want to see them play. They're just, like, mean and nasty, and we don't want to see it, and it's just awful. And then you've got, like, any chance of a good season out the door, back to back. We literally have Chris Kirkpatrick and Shayna Lee back to back. Our only hopes for anything happening were those two. And then everybody else is a total flop and just wants to save their friends and just wants to, like, let the chips fall where they may. Oh, wait, they are actually two people trying to win. And, like, it just, oh, okay. And then we get to the end and the people already are just going to vote for their friend because nobody cares. Like, yeah. I just feel like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah, what is the point of any of this? Because if this is a game, then let it be a game. But don't just, like, sit there and have everybody just be like, I don't care about this, so I'm just going to, like, leave and be fine with it. And then at the end of it, like, we're all just going to vote for who we like the best because we don't care about the game itself. And we're outside the house. We're not sequestered. We're watching the game, or we're not watching and we don't care. We're just letting Twitter influence us or whatever. Like, what is the point of this if not to watch a game and be entertained by the game, or to watch the game and be entertained by the players? Like, what are we doing here? Let's end the podcast. Let's turn it off. What are we doing?
You know, I'm wondering if it would be better for Celebrity Big Brother if we took kind of the format of the UK, where the audience actually did get to vote. Because then at least we can have...
Well, now we're just getting into nonsense there.
They don't care. Like, at least we care enough to, like, we would be making decisions about. And they can see what we feel about people and, like, their decisions that they're making. So
we tried that already. It was OTT.
that's true. it didn't come back.
Yeah, and then we all hated each other, so that was great.
That's true.
That turns the entire audience into one big Big Brother game. And
could be more interesting though, maybe. Yeah.
I think, you know, at the start of the season, when it looked like things might be fun, people were like, aha, see, we don't need fans of the game. We don't need people who like, you know, the show. It's all about the messiness. It's all about bringing in these personalities. And I think we're seeing the result of that.
Where are the personalities?
Yeah. Like you need people that have a level of interest in what they're doing, and people that know the show or know the game are a lot more likely to have a vested interest in winning the game. Carson, who is a great personality, I think you would have said great personality will be fun to watch in the house. He is great at the DRs. Knows nothing about Big Brother, has zero interest in the show, the history, the game. He literally was just like, my January's free. I think I could swing there, swing by. And this is the result. And like the people that, that do care, they're just, you know, just taking each other out to keep all of the people that don't in the game so that they can just kind of walk their way to the end. I think you need people that are invested. And that is the key difference between a cast like Big Brother Canada 9 and Celebrity Big Brother Season 3, where, yeah, the Big Brother Canada 9 cast was very messy, but a lot of them were fans of the show. They were just really bad at the game. But they cared a lot because they knew the show and they knew the history and they were like really invested.
Yeah, it's like everybody saying, well, you know, you don't need to have just like fans of the show. Like, you know, good people, like there can be good players who didn't know the show or who aren't like super fans or whatever. And yes, that's true. But you have to start at a base level of wanting to play. Like, I feel like that's what we're missing here is like we're missing the idea of like these people actually wanting to be there. And I think we got that sense from those initial interviews, like when they were just like, what's your strategy going in? I'm just going to be myself and hang out. Like, I think I'm going to have a fun summer or whatever. It's like, wait, what the heck is going on here? Like, where's like, I mean, it just seemed like nobody cared like, going into it. And so I was kind of like, okay, these interviews are not great, but maybe once they get in the house, they're going to be like wanting to stay. So that way they can like, you know, be around longer, be seen longer, whatever. At least we could have that. Maybe they don't care about actually winning, but at least they might want to stick around. Instead, the feeds start up and everyone wants to already go home. They're like, yeah, I kind of did what I needed to do. I got the big announcement of my name. I got to do some like interview press. And, you know, that's sufficient. That's good enough just to get my name out there. Like that's really what it seemed like is like the actual and like getting the money from just showing up. And then getting like peanuts for staying week by week. Like that obviously, I think, brings something to the table because they want to get there to show up at the house, get their paycheck. And then those additional like $5,000 increments, like take it or leave it. If I'm not having fun, I'm going to go home. Well, Big Brother's usually not fun, I'll tell you. So like if your thought is like, I'm just going to stay as long as I'm having fun. Like, you're not going to stay more than 5 minutes. So I just feel like that's what we're missing here is like, you know, any sort of like want to play. And I think that's what we had in season one of Celebrity Big Brother, where almost everybody there, like, I have to say, yes, were a few quits. We get that. Like, there were a few people who were like, I'm just going to go home. But like half the cast at least was like, I'm here to play. I'm here to win. I want it. Like, I know this game. Maybe they're not like super fans, but they at least knew the game and what they were getting themselves into. And so they were able to kind of like use that to create a fun, interesting game all the way through. And you have these, you know, yeah, you have these big personalities, but you also have these big personalities who care. So, I mean, we're missing both of those things in this season.
You'd think, though, that because they're celebrities and they're used to going and performing on camera or whatnot, that they would take it a little bit more seriously and do a little bit of homework so that they can go and put their best foot forward. Like, if I was a celebrity and I was going to go on a show, what's Big Brother? Like, I would watch every season I could before I went into that house, so I'd be armed with information so I can do a good job. And so I think that they're probably their publicists or whoever got them the gig failed them with, like, what they could have been doing for prep work to, like, come on the show, because it hasn't been fun watching these people. Like, their personalities aren't coming through enough for it to be exciting just to see them living playing this game, because they're not playing at all. I need to see more gameplay.
I think it's tough. Like, if you're a celebrity, you do these kinds of shows all the time. You can't watch every show that you go on if that's your job, right? And most shows they go on probably wouldn't require nearly the amount of investment. Like, you go on Dancing with the Stars, like, I don't know, dancing. Like, you maybe learn dancing, but you wouldn't be like, I need to watch the show to know the ins and outs of Dancing with the Stars, or anything like that, right? Like, I think part of it is they clearly were not prepared for it. Cause, like, here's the thing. The way that I look at casting for Celebrity Big Brother is that they are trying to con people into coming on their show.
I do believe that.
Big upfront payment. You'll make a bunch of money if you show. All you need to do is show up, and it'll take like a month, but it's fine. It's good work. And you'll make some connections. There'll be other celebrities in there. You make lifelong friends. Lots of married people come from this show.
Challenges.
It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. You'll get to wear some costumes. They'll be not embarrassing, I promise. So they come on the show and they're like, what is happening?
I think that's why we see so many people right off the bat, I want to go home. I don't want to.
Yes. This isn't good. And it's if you have to trick people to be on the show, this is not the right people. Like, these are not the right people to cast. Mm-hmm. If there are celebrities out there that care about, Nicole Maines. I talked to her on the Taryn show. She's not like Carson Kressley, right? You probably have not heard of Nicole Maines, but she's very popular. She's an incredible person, would love to play on the show. There are plenty of people like her, I'm sure, that are capable of coming on and playing hard and being interesting. But I think they're really going for remember the OJ trial? Like, those are the people that they're really trying to draw in with love. But those people are not sticking around. In my opinion, those are not the people. They're going to tune in to see, Kato Kaelin go, my stomach hurty, ouchie. And then they're going to be like, oh, that's weird. And then they're out.
I mean, I think it's either you either need to actually go for it and shell out the big bucks and get gigantic personalities on the show. And maybe they don't care as much, but you at least have a couple weeks of fun clips or whatever. And
Will Smith and Brad Pitt in the Big Brother house, they could lie around talking about integrity all day long and people would be into it.
Right. Cause you'd be interested in hearing what they have to say. So I feel like it's either you go for it, you shoot for the fences or whatever. And you actually go out there and shell out the money and you get the big celebrities to hang out in a house under the guise of this is actually Big Brother, but really who cares, because they don't need this. And then it's okay, that's the draw. Or you go for people who maybe, like you said, aren't as well known by everybody, by the big, majority of people, but are really interested in playing. Maybe if it's influencers or whatever who actually are interested in playing the game. I'm not saying that is my favorite idea ever, but I do think if they're looking for people with followings and they're going to call it celebrity or whatever, then get people who actually care, no matter who they are, no matter if I've heard of them or not. I don't care if they're very interested in playing, rather than playing this middle ground where it's they don't care about playing
and they're not,
but they're also not well known. So at least we get a little bit of both those things. It's not really. You're just kind of like running on the middle, It doesn't help either way. Either go one way or go the other way. But this middle ground where they don't care about playing and they're not big celebrities, so nobody cares. Like, what are we here for, you know?
Well, I wonder why they haven't even tapped into their own resources. Like, CBS has had probably hundreds of thousands of people that have come through and been leads on their shows. And so I'm wondering why they couldn't maybe tap into that, or even like Love Island. Like, you know, at least see some of these people. They might not be amazing, but they would be interested in maybe be on the show and actually playing the game. So I'm wondering why they're not tapping into their own well right now.
Yeah. And I, like, I think, to be fair, I do think that they succeeded in the first two seasons. I think the first season was great. The second season, there were definitely, you know, again, some quitters in the first season that ruined some evictions, definitely, you know, dragged that down a little bit. You know, the second season had, you know, some toxicity issues at times, for sure, but they were both entertaining seasons. You know, I think the problem is that, you know, their formula is dried up already. Like, if this is what we're getting now, if this is like the best we could come up with after a few years off, then
and a pandemic.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's the other thing is like, what are these people doing? Like, what are celebrities doing right now other than like nothing or this, you know, like they should be able to get like good celebrities. I feel like the first season, the cast list was announced and it was like, whoa, like, okay, like we were actually kind of impressed with the level of like people they got just because we were expecting like nobody. And then we were impressed by that. And they did have some people who were interested in playing, but I feel like for the most part, like they really went for like the names. Like you've got Omarosa, you know, Ross Matthews, like he's huge. Like these people are big names, or at least for a lot of people. And then the second season, I feel like they went more for like gamers, like people who are interested in playing. I felt like most of the people from my perspective were like really into gameplay to the point where like you said, there was like some toxicity there with those people, but they really went for like the gaming. This season, they haven't gone for either of those things. And the chat is bringing up a good point. I think if they took a page out of like Celebrity Apprentice's book and did it for like charity, I think they could get bigger names. Like, I think that like, if they're not doing it for like a stipend or whatever, and they're doing it for like, I'm playing for a charity, I do think you could get bigger people there to be like, I'm doing this for, you know, this charity, whatever, like, rather than like, because I think for like larger celebrities or like bigger names, it might seem like sad to like do it that like to be like, I need this money to come going on Big Brother to win this money, you know, which is not even that much money. Whereas like, if you were going to play for a charity, then that's, you're doing a good thing. You're being a good person by playing for this charity. You know, like I do feel like that was allowed the Celebrity Apprentice to get much bigger names. I mean,
well, I think the Celebrity Apprentice is also like much more flexible shooting schedule. Like they were able to bow out during certain weeks if they had their own stuff going on. It also sort of like props them up as like experts in the business field at times. You know, I think there are a lot of, you know, conveniences to that show that, you know, Big Brother, it's live feeds. You're stuck there the whole time. It's super stressful.
What if they
stressful.
Did half and half? What if they gave some money to you and some money to the charity? Because
or like you have to make a decision at the end.
Right. Oh, that'd be good. I feel like, yeah, can you imagine? I'm going to keep the money for myself. I think like bringing someone in, like offering them money to like come in, that's good. And then offering them money for their charity, like the longer they stick around or whatever, like that could be good because then it's like, it gives you more incentive to say, I want to stay because, or like, I don't, if you say like, I want to go home, I don't care about my charity or whatever, like that's not going to be a good look for you. So like, it gives more incentive to stick around longer. I think that could be, you know, a good incentive is like, they get the initial stipend for showing up and then week by week, they're earning money for their charity or something like that. Just so that like, it gives them a reason to stay. And then like, we can point to them and be like, you didn't want to keep like stick around for your charity? Well, that's for charity. Aww. You know? I don't know. Guilt factor.
Guilt factor. Well, in the house, there is still, as I mentioned, the Lamar thing is, I think, a primary concern as Lamar is kind of, I think, by default become the consensus sort of pick for people to win since he's the only one that didn't backdoor Shayna. Lamar is in some trouble. Some of it's his own doing here. As I said, volunteered pretty much for the block And he's also, he's sick of Todrick. Again, why I think Lamar is
so
definitely the choice of the people at the moment. He's tethered to Todrick. Really, really sick of him. He decided that Todrick ordered some cards. Can we get some cards, some playing cards? And Lamar ripped them up. He was like, I'm just gonna rip these up here.
You can tell he's so sick of it. Like when Todrick brings up, like, I was in five Broadway shows, and Lamar's like, nobody cares. And Todrick's like, Are you talking to me? And Lamar's like, I'm just talking to myself.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. He just like does not care anymore. He's so fed up.
And Todrick is getting very annoyed with Lamar as well. And it's a cold war that's often getting hot here over the course of the day. So Lamar's safety definitely in question again, as Todrick and Misha have the power over who is evicted ultimately this week. That's where we are heading into the veto. Everyone is going to be playing. So no Shayna situations, but if Cynthia wins, she will take Todrick down will take Carson down. And Lamar, I think at that point is definitely gone. If Carson wins, they're going to try and convince him to not take himself down. Who knows at that point? I would imagine that he would go to Misha and Todrick and be like, hey, our deal still stands, right? Like, you're not going to vote me out or Cynthia out. And then they have to go either no or yes or whatever. But, you know, it could get weird because who knows with these people. If Lamar wins, they've actually talked to him. They've told him, don't take yourself down if you win. I assume he won't, I guess, because he wanted to be up there in the first place. And then if anybody else wins, they're just going to keep it the same. And then that choice between Carson and Lamar, I think, you know, the default choice here is Carson. But with everything that's happening with Lamar, there's definitely some reason to believe that Lamar would still be in a little bit of danger. That's just what we're watching for the next couple of days here, as this is probably going to go around in circles.
It's just like, do I even care what the outcome is? I just want to know what the outcome is, and then I can just be upset about it after. I don't want to be hoping for anything. I don't want to be like, okay, maybe this could happen. I'm like, nope, I'm not going to put any hopes in anything. I'm just going to watch like a casual.
Yep.
No stakes.
Totally. I don't really care about the outcome. I would like Lamar to stick around, but
he doesn't want to, so.
Yeah, so like,
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
All right. Well, are we ready to rate the players then?
Yes.
Okay. Let's pull this up here and then do this thing. So what we do here is that we rate the players 1 out of 10. 1 to 10 is the rating system. 10 being the best. They're doing very, very well. One being the worst. They have no chance to win. They're really, really, really bad at the game. we have the previous week's thing up here, except the name thing is in the way. We're going to be rating them. I asked the audience to rate the players as well. So we'll go through, we'll get the audience vote. We'll get what we think in the ratings, and then we will have an overall rating that will influence the prices on realitystockwatch.com. So let's get into it here. We're going to start with Carson. We're going to start with Carson. Carson has had an interesting week. He won HOH. He took out Shayna, and he's now on the block as a big target. So I would not say things are looking great for Carson. I think me personally, even though the move he made is like all time bad, the celebrity sort of like curve, right? The celebrity grading curve, plus the fact that he could still theoretically win this game, will make me give him a 2 personally. So there you go, Carson. Yeah. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, he gets a 1 for me. I see what you're saying, and the fact that he still could possibly win just because like people like him, but like that was so bad. He took out his ally. He was completely snowed by the other side. He made a fake deal that they're clearly not going to uphold. They're more than willing to get him out this week. So like that was just such a bad move. It blows my mind, honestly, because it just doesn't make any sense. I can't wrap my head around it. And so for that reason, he gets a 1.
It's very fair. It's very fair. I thought about it. Chantel, what do you think?
I thought you were going to go so high, Jared, like with a 3. I thought you were going to give him a 3, which is why it lasted so high. The thing is with Carson, like I really, really was rooting for him. I think he's super funny. He's very charismatic. Like I wanted him to win. He was my number one draft pick. I'm rooting for Carson. And he disappointed me so much. And he can't see what is going on. And it's so obvious. I know it's different in the house. I get that. And it pains me that like he's doing so poorly in the game, but I really don't think that he has a shot to getting to the end and winning. A, he doesn't really care if he wins or not. B, he's willing to propel Cynthia forward before himself. And C, he's the number one target for everyone else other than Cynthia and maybe Lamar. And so I can't give him a 1 because there is that small chance that he could win out and get to the end. And if he does get to the end, I do think he'll win. So I'm with you, Taryn. I am giving him a 2.
All right. Well, the audience, they did go as high as you thought I might go. The audience gave Carson a 3, which I feel is high. Now, granted, you know, again, it's diff. Everybody has their own criteria. I think, you know, if you're looking at Carson's specific position right now, I think you could say, maybe I could see a 3. If you're looking at like the move he made last cycle, then you'd be like, obviously 1. and so, you know, I think that range is relatively fair here overall. So there you go. Carson is a 2 overall. Let's talk about Cynthia. Let's move on to Cynthia. Melissa, how do you feel about Cynthia?
Cynthia gets a 1. She like convinced Carson to do this. I think if Cynthia had said like, you know, maybe let's think about this or whatever, like maybe they would have, you know, not done it, but she was the one who was like gung ho against Shayna for no reason. So she gets a 1. That was a horrible move. They did it together, even though Carson was HOH. And you know, she's in a bad spot this week and next week and every week after if she survives. So yeah, she gets a 1.
All right. Well, Chantel, what do you think?
Like, I'm fluctuating with numbers because with Cynthia, like, I don't see that she has like a high chance of going home just because she's not that big of a threat. She's not good at the competition. She doesn't really care to be there. She's willing to, you know, vote for Todrick and all that stuff. So maybe that's why he might vote her out. I don't know. But she's terrible at the game. She had a terrible read with Shayna. She convinced Carson to do the absolute wrong thing on his HOH. Oh, and for that, I 1 or a 2. I think I'm gonna give her a one. She ruined last week. If Cynthia wasn't in the house, everything would have kind of gone to plan. They would have gained power. They would have gained the numbers. And potentially we could have seen a Shayna win, or at least there would be some opposition. But Cynthia was in her feelings and was listening to stuff from the opposition that wasn't in her best interest or the best interest of Carson. So, yeah, I think she gets a one because she took down that last cycle.
Yeah, I mean, between her competition ability, the move she made with Carson last cycle, and just looking at her path forward in this game, let's say Carson survived. Carson's the only person right now that's taking her to the final two. Mm-hmm. And Carson beats her, I think. Mm-hmm. Which means she has to take herself to the final two. She has to win that final competition. If she does that and she's there with, you know, Todd, Todrick, and Misha, maybe she has a chance, certainly with Todrick, if she took Todrick, which is actually not completely out of the realm of possibility that somehow happened. I don't think it's impossible for her to win, but I think it's even less likely than Carson, even though Carson is the target this week. It's a very difficult path. So even with the grading curve here, she does not also get the she can still somehow realistically win this game bump that Carson does. So I'm with you. I gave her a one. And the audience gave her a two. Two for her.
Generous.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Lamar. Chantel, what do you think?
I loved Lamar. Right now, he's who I'm rooting for to win. He was undrafted on the draft that I did, so which would be hilarious because the audience would be winning with the draft if he were to win. But I don't love the fact that he hasn't picked up how the game is played, that he's always kind of asking for clarification on the rules. And it's like he's been in there long enough. And I believe there's a rule book in the storage room or somewhere that he could like learn how to play the game. The fact that he doesn't care, he doesn't want to be there. He's willing to let himself be put on the block. He doesn't mind being voted out. He didn't fight to keep Shayna. Like, it just, what he's doing in the actual game isn't stuff that I like. I enjoy his personality and watching him on the feeds. Cool. I love that he cut up Todrick's cards or ripped them up. Like, that's hilarious to me. But his game is bad. I think I have to give him a one as well. I don't think that he can get to the end and win. He hasn't done well in any of the competitions. Doesn't have the drive. Like, there's just nothing really propelling him forward to be able to get to the end and win. And how can I reward him with anything more than a one? So, Uno.
All right. Well, the audience feels very differently on Lamar. Like the audience gave him a four. They gave him a four.
That's insane.
Well, that could have been before nominations, right?
You know what?
Before letting him.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the change in plans came this morning. So theoretically they should have known, but if they were relying on the update, which happened before the change in plans, then they probably thought Lamar was not going to be on the block and wasn't okay with it, but they still would have known that he could go home given the Todd conversation with Misha. I'm definitely in between these two. The thing is, Lamar could definitely go home this week and that would be bad for him. If he doesn't go home this week, I think he will be the target next week. Mm-hmm. And that is also very bad. However, if he somehow survives both of those and he's in the final four or however this is going to work, final three, I don't know how they're going to go from final four to final two. I assume they'll just do regular cycles, but to get to the final three and not do their usual thing because of Catan, but who knows at this point. Theoretically, if he was able to somehow win his way to the end, I think that he could definitely win the game. But similar to Cynthia, I think there's no one that's really going to take him. I don't think. And he hasn't shown that he can win anything to this point. However, I think that he still has a little bit. He doesn't have like the really terrible move that Cynthia made, to really drag him down. And I do think that he's got a lot of audience momentum behind him. So for me, I went with, I do think that Lamar is the best chance of anybody outside of Misha, Todd, or Todrick winning. And so for me, I went with a 3 for Lamar. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like I would have stuck with my 3 for Lamar, except for he's now on the block. He's also considered a target. He's not kind of like under the radar like we might have suspected he might be. Not only that, like Chantel brings up a good point that he did not fight for Shayna to stay. He clearly wanted her to stay. They had been talking together and kind of working together a little bit, not like anything official, but they had been just like discussing things. And he knew how much of a threat Misha was. He wanted to get Misha out, but instead of doing literally anything, like literally one thing, he did nothing. So, you know, he kind of just let her leave and that's that. And that's really bad for him, honestly, because I think Shayna wanted to work with him. So, yeah, he doesn't really have any allies. No one really wants to work with him. He's not in a good spot. I do think if he gets to the end, great, you know, then he can win. But at this point, it just doesn't seem likely. However, I will say he's one of the few people who has been talking about actually making a move and trying to get Todrick or Misha out. So at least there's that. So like, at least if he gets power, he would do something with it, unlike literally everyone else. But I just don't know if I see that happening, especially if he goes home this week. I mean, it just won't. So, I'm gonna give him a 2 just because there's a chance, but it just isn't looking great for him, unfortunately.
Yes. You can see the color coding here that I think it just looks at the general average, and the 3s and the 4s are in the green right now because they're the best.
That's so insane. That's so sad.
All right, let's move on to Misha. Let's talk about Misha. Last week we had straight 6s across the board for Misha. The audience this week also gave her a 6 yet again. For me, Misha's an interesting one. Obviously contributed to a good move last cycle. I would give Todrick the bulk of the credit here, but I do have to take into consideration that Misha's backup of Todrick was definitely a huge help. I don't think he could have pulled it off alone. And her reputation for honesty and straightforwardness that she has cultivated, not necessarily strategically, but just because that's how she is, it definitely helped her sell the story as well. And on top of that, she does, to me, seem to be the person who is the most likely winner at this point, as somebody who is very good at the competitions, the person most likely to win, I think, a decent amount of competitions. I think she would beat both Todd and Todrick, who are the two people she would likely be in the final 3 with, if things go their way. And really, like, you know, this week she's locked safe unless something changes. Next week, even if Cynthia won, even if Carson stayed and won, she'd be safe. If Todrick won, she'd be safe. If she wins, she'd be safe. Lamar winning would be the only case where she would be in some danger. But she would still, he would have to beat her, and then she would have to also lose the veto. Who knows what else? Todd would probably use the veto on her if he won it. Maybe even Cynthia would use the veto on her if she won it. Because it would be at 5, and I guarantee you, Todrick would be in Cynthia's ear saying, "If you use the veto on Misha, then use the veto on it," because it would be Todrick and Misha on the block. Cynthia wins the veto. Use the veto on me. It forces Todd on the block, and we can vote Todd out. She would do it. I think she would do it. So she's looking pretty good. She's looking pretty good for all those things. And you know, again, not to say that she is necessarily playing at a 7 level, but for me, between the curve, her position, and how well things have gone for her, I'm going up to a 7 here for Misha. I think her jury management is also very bad. It's just she's lucky that she has 2 other even worse jury managers that are next to her.
I think, like,
just to be clear,
if you are looking at everybody else, like, I think, like you said, like, she she's not necessarily a 7-level player. She's not necessarily playing at a 7-level. But if you look at everybody else and you look at like what she's up against, I do think that like she has the best chance of winning. So it does seem only fair to give her a 7. I would agree with that, especially because the moves made last week or this past week really benefited her. I mean, number one, she could have been out the door. Number two, now she basically has no opposition. So I think it's really great for her. And she also, like, if she does end up getting to the end, her and Todrick, she'll win for sure because nobody wants to vote for Todrick. So, like, her reputation is much better at this point than Todrick's is. So if she ends up making it to the end with him, she'll win. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. So even though she didn't have, like, she wasn't totally in control of the move that happened this week, she ended up getting more of a benefit than Todrick did, to be honest. So, yeah, she's a 7 for me right now.
All right, Chantel.
I'm so shocked by, you know, how I'm feeling about this particular rating, because I don't particularly enjoy Misha just as a personality, but I do really respect the fact that she's so good at these competitions and that she's able to shimmer all these men to be like, to not want to put her up. We know that Chris Kirkpatrick had the opportunity to backdoor her and he was going to do Todrick instead because he couldn't do that to Misha. So the fact that she has that amount of charisma, charm, sway, whatever it is with a lot of these people that do not want to go against her, it's very impressive. And so regardless of whether or not Todrick like did this whole plan last week or last cycle that she really did benefit the most from, I think that because she is now really locked in for a win, that I have to agree with both of you with the 7. I can't go higher because like, I don't like all the tactics that she's been using with the personal remarks and stuff like that with Todrick. But with where she's positioned in the game, I do think she's most likely to win the season. I don't think that she has anybody that can really compare to her physically getting to the end. And I think that anybody that she sits beside is going to be less liked than she is. So I feel like she will get a majority of the votes. And if I'm going to be one, would vote for her, that means that probably a lot of America will vote for her if we get a vote. And that's probably going to help her a lot as well. So yeah, she gets a 7, which is shocking.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right. Wow. Well, let's talk about Todd. Let's talk about Todd, our HOH winner. Now, winning the HOH shows that he can win competitions, which is nice, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he also had Shayna going out of the house saying, you know, go Todd. I don't know how long that's going to stand when she hears him talk about how he would never date her because of how the clothes that she wears. You got to kind of take that into account. I do think that Todd's position is slightly better than it was the last time we looked at this, primarily because I think Todrick's and his final two win equity has gone down. I think that last time we did this last week, the line of logic was like Todrick can only possibly beat Misha and Todd. Those are the people he would have a chance against. Now it's Todrick definitely can't beat anybody. And that's good for Todd, especially if he's going to be in the finals, you know, area with him. Now, the problem is I think that Todd would pick Misha to go to the final two with him if he had the choice. And I don't think either Misha or Todrick will pick Todd to go to the final two with them. So I am tempted to give Todd a 4 because I do think that his win equity is a little higher than Lamar's at this point, just, you know, getting there and everything. But what is he doing talking about Shayna like this? Like, it's ridiculous. I think that he could, if he had just been chill, after the whole Carson HOH week, if he'd just been chill, I think he would have easily beaten both Misha and Todrick. And it would have been go Todd, like Shayna said. And I think I would have given him a 4, because you know, his chance of getting there is still kind of low. But the fact that he's out there, you know, also ruining his own reputation still is just like, all right, you're a three at best here, Todd. And that's what I'm giving him. It's a three for me. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I guess like I am giving him extra points because he is HOH this week. I don't know, actually, because the more I think of it, the more I definitely want to get Misha out, but not this week, not this week. He says that basically every week. He's like, no, wait till we get to like the final four. And I feel like that's not really the move. Like, you don't wait till the final four to get out like the biggest threat to anybody. Like, I just feel like it's not great. I don't know. I'm between a three and a four, if I'm being honest, because I do think like, I think I was a little worried for him this week because I felt like he was one of the expendables. Like, someone could just kind of like be like, let's just get Todd out this week, worst case scenario. But however, he won HOH. I don't know if he's making the right move for him. I think I'm leaning towards a four. However, I know I'm like going back and forth, but I feel like also you have to take into consideration the fact that he's really not that liked. Like Cynthia and him have beef. Like him and Lamar like tend to have beef sometimes. Like, maybe it's just playful, but like they definitely are, you know, not like super good friends. And then like, you know, obviously the Shayna situation, that's not good. And also I don't think Chris Kirkpatrick will vote for someone who's been mean to Shayna. So I don't think he's doing himself any favors, really. I guess because he's safe this week, and I did think he was not going to be safe. No, I'm going to give him a three. I'm just going to do it. Because like, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, no.
I know, it's me too. Like, the more I think about it, it's more like, how does he end up in the final two with anyone but Misha? And at this point, right, I feel like Misha beats him. So it's like, I don't know.
Right.
But,
so like, well, wait, what are we rooting? Yeah, exactly. Totally.
Chantal, what do you think?
Well, it's so hard to rank these players because they're not playing well. They don't play to win. And, you know, like you said, Melissa, he's like, oh, I'll take care of Misha at final four. And I'm like, well, wait, you have the power now. So why aren't you making any moves to better yourself in the game? If you take Misha or Todrick, two people that have consistently been doing better than you in the game so far, take one of them out now, you probably will still get to the final four. Like, you don't need them to take you there, especially because you won this power right now. I understand loyalty alliances. There's a lot of this integrity talk within the house. So I get that that's kind of lingering with people's decision making. But I'm like, it's not the optimum move for him this round with his power. Taking out Lamar, Lamar is like, they're kind of frenemies, we'll say. But like, I don't think Lamar was ever coming for him. So the fact that he even put him up as a pawn who might be taken out, that's pretty terrible. Like, he might have someone that was kind of on his side that he's going to take out on his HOH. So I just think that he's making a really bad move. He's doing Misha and Todrick's bidding here by not even having them even be fazed about touching the block, but they're the biggest threat to win. So he's just not using his power at all, but he does win a challenge right now. So I didn't think that he was going to win any sort of competition. So he's done that, which means that he could potentially win something else. If he does get to the end of the game, he has a potential to maybe win. So I'm giving him a three.
Yeah.
You almost talked me into dropping to a two. Like,
yeah, the more you just spoke, I was like, I literally was thinking the same thing. Because I was like, the idea that like, he finally has power and he's not doing anything to better himself. Yeah, in fact, he's just doing their bidding. He's not even like, making a concern.
My expectations are so low that I didn't even consider how awfully he's handling this HOH.
Right. Like,
he could put up Todrick and Misha this round and win so much credit with the jury, take out a massive threat, and have a great shot at winning the game.
It's so funny that we both, after she talked, were like, oh, let's just like one more thing. Like, well, I literally
the three is the bump up for the fact that he won a competition, but like, no, I would like a two is totally fine.
No, I think that we are watching this with like, or like talking about this with like rose colored glasses on of like, oh, this is celebrity. So like, we're sitting here like, oh, well, you know, he's doing really well. And it's like, no, he's not. He's in power and he's doing exactly what the people in power, like this whole game, have been wanting him to do. He's doing exactly what the majority wants him to do. And yeah, he thinks that he will go to the Final Four with them. So that's why he's doing it. But like, that's a dumb move. It doesn't matter what
you're
going
to be in Final Five anyways in the next round. Like, that's like one more round away to get to Final Four with people that are easier
that
to
are
beat.
Clearly, yeah, that these guys are clearly going to beat him. Like, he's like burning bridges left and right. I mean,
I mean, I'm down with dropping to a two if you guys want to.
Like, what do we do? I don't know. Like,
I mean,
what does the audience say?
I don't know. We'll have to see how they chime in here. For me, it's like it's not worse than what Carson did, but it's still very bad. I think Carson has like slightly better chance to win. Like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe they are somewhat equivalent for me. But there's a scenario where like Todrick backstabs Misha to take Todd to the final two, and then Todd beats him. Or where Todd cuts Misha and takes Todrick to the final two. But he would have to beat both of them to do that. And it's such, like, I can still see him winning, but I think
I'm going down.
The thing about Lamar is that at least he recognizes that he should take a shot at Misha if he gets the chance.
Mm-hmm. Right. At least Lamar notices like what's going on. He's at least observant.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm yeah, it's a two.
I agree. Number two.
Number two.
Yeah, I think I'll drop down to a two just because last week we gave him a three and that was before we knew that he would like just do exactly what Misha and Todrick wanted him to do. So yeah, I think I'll go down to a two.
Yeah, man. The audience much higher on Todd. They gave him a four. So they're where Melissa started.
Yeah, literally.
Sorry to Christina, who is doing the inputs here. Exactly. Thank you so much for all the great work. I mean, look at that. Like, it doesn't even change the average at all that we went down to twos. Hopefully, it just makes us feel better.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for
letting us talk
for anyone.
All right. Finally, let's talk about Todrick. Melissa, let's start with you. What do you think about Todrick?
This is a tricky one for me because the move itself is so impressive, but with the format of Celebrity Big Brother, where the jury is not sequestered and everyone is outside the house, gets to talk, gets to see Twitter, gets to, you know, everything. You know, I don't see a situation where Todrick wins. I think under a normal season, you know, normal Big Brother season, there is a possibility that he wins because maybe people will end up like respecting the moves or whatever because they don't know like the extent of like how it all went down. Maybe. But even then, I think that like the way that he's treating people generally in the house and as they walk out the door and just the way that he's handling himself in the game is not winning any votes. So I think in this situation, even though he pulled off a really great move, I don't know if I see him winning. And so it's very hard for me to reward that move with, you know, going up and my score, when it just, the more I see of him, the more I think this guy's not going to win. So there are situations where he could possibly win, maybe, like, I'm sure there's something. I can't think of one, but you know, I'm sure there's something out there. Gosh, this is hard. It's hard because I feel like I'm struggling to judge it. I kind of want to just stick with my five just to give him some extra points for that move. Like, it kind of is one of those things where, like, if I'm giving him, like, points for that move, I would probably go up, like, if we're just looking at the move, I'd probably go up to, like, an eight or something if we're giving Misha a seven. But then you have to think, like, is this guy winning? So you kind of bring it back down and it kind of evens itself out. I'm kind of thinking I want to just stick with my five at this point. but I feel like I can be convinced to go down. can someone else talk?
All right, Chantel, what do you think?
See, I was left it open with him because I don't know what I'm valuing here with how I'm rating his gameplay. You know, we see lots of tweets of the things that he's been doing in the house and people are just not liking it. And, you know, when people are leaving, he's like, oh, you're going to, you know, you'll see what, like, the truth you'll see when you go out. And like, well, when they go out, they're going to see all the shitty things that you've said or how you've acted or how you have been lying to them. So the proof that it's supposed to be outside of this house and outside the game, they'll be able to see. And it's not in favor of whatever narrative he is trying to play. So I do not see in any world where he wins, like against anybody, I can't see that. And so obviously then that's going to be, it's pretty low, but he did this move. He will most likely get to the end because he also doesn't really have anyone aiming at him except for maybe Lamar, and Lamar might go out this week just because of the fact that Lamar and him have beef now. And so like now Todrick's going to be like, let's get him out. Like I can't stand him. And he has pull and he could get people, rally people together to get him out. So I think that he's going to get a 5 from me. It's pretty middle of the road, we'll say, obviously in like a normal season, or really bad player in a normal season. But I do think it's high because, you know, he's capable of winning competitions now. He could win other competitions and win himself to the end. I don't think it's going to buy any points from the jury, but I do think he has a high chance of getting to the end, but he won't win. So he gets a 5.
All right. Well, the audience went with a 4 for Todrick. They went with a 4. And yeah, this is definitely a tough one. I mean, I don't know if ever in the history of the Stockwatch have we been faced with like, he pulled off what is probably the best move in celebrity history, which on a curve, you know, would mean pretty high rating for the celebrity edition. But on the other hand, he also is just constantly tanking his jury potential. And that's a terrible, terrible move. And, you know, I think in some ways those things balance each other out. And so when I'm looking at his performance this week, on one hand, he did something really good. On the other hand, he did something really bad, which is tank his jury chances. So that is almost a wash. But I would still say performance this week, net positive. But even then, like, I think he had a better chance to win last week than this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's his actions that directly led to that happening. So his performance this week ultimately has to be a net negative. And then long-term chances to win the game, very low. Short-term chances to stay, very high. I think he's getting to the end. That's his best attribute right now. And he has a whole week for somebody else to piss off the audience and the jury even more, right? Like that's, I mean, and Todd could definitely do that. I think Todd is, he's capable. So I don't think it's impossible for him to win, because there's still some time left, you know, for other things to happen. But I mean, Carson said to Cynthia, I think today, he was like, if we're out next, you, me, and Teddy, we're all going to go and eat lunch at the hotel restaurant. And she's going to fill us in on everything we need to know about the season. And Teddy is definitely not going to be saying good things about Todd, right?
Yeah.
She's also not a fan of Todd, but I also think she sees the general consensus, which is that even though they're both doing and saying bad things, Todrick is much more visible and is getting much more of the attention. And I think that's bad for him. So ultimately, I have to land very low on Todrick. I think his chances to win are just too low for me to be high on him, regardless of the move he made. Because again, he could have made that move and gotten huge bonus points, but he also made the move of trash talking Shayna way too much, saying things that are going to piss the jury off even more. Remember too, this is the same cycle in which he said to Chris Kirkpatrick, your son is going to be embarrassed by you when he watches this. And that's such a bad move. I can't go higher than a 3 for me. Ooh. It's a 3 for Todrick.
Wow. Okay. I appreciate it though.
Yeah. All right. Melissa, are you sticking with your 5? It's not locked in.
I think I'm going to go with a 4. And I'll
okay. Mute. There you go. She's the dogs are chiming in as well.
You know, another thing with Todrick's game too is that, like, if he was playing really well, he would realize that he should want to take at this point Cynthia and Carson to the Final Four so that they won't have an opportunity to go out and mix with all the people that he said terrible things about. And so the fact that the target is Carson and he's not kind of swaying that because he still is like, Carson's got to go. Like, he needs to make sure that they don't see what's going on in the outside world. And if it's Carson goes and Cynthia gets to the Final Four or whatever, he can easily be doing some whispering at the finale and being like, no, vote this way. Carson's terrible. Like, so I think that he should be also even thinking about taking them further, because if they get out into the real world, it even further tanks his game.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
So there you go. That is those are the ratings this week. And it looks to me like so Carson went down from a 4 to a 2. Cynthia went from a 5 to a 1. Lamar went from a 4 to a 3. Yikes. Nisha, the only person to go up, went from a 6 to a 7. Todd stayed at a 3. And then Todrick went down from a 5 to a 4. So Misha's the only one that made any money this week. Everybody else lost money. So let's take a quick look at what that does to the leaderboard.
I'm so bad.
Here you go.
It's only been one. This is the first week, right? Or the only week.
First of three total choices. Yes. So let's see. How many people went in on Misha is the question. Looks like not that many. 28 people.
Because she should have gone home last week. Like,
oh my God.
28 people went all in on Misha. They are all currently tied for first place.
Wow.
And then an additional, it looks like 10 people, or roughly like maybe 8 or 9 people went, put some amount of, stock into Misha. The next group of people are those that did nothing.
Oh my God. I know, I was thinking, like, I should have just done nothing. It would have been better than what I did.
How many of those are there? Quite a lot. Okay, there you go. We finally get to the people that did just a little bit.
Oh my God.
Or split their shares with a little bit of Misha and some other people.
Where are you, Karen?
I went in on Lamar. Let's see. I am down 275 for me.
Wow. That's your lowest.
That's the lowest you've ever been.
Yeah, I think so. It's let's see. What did Melissa do? We'll load it up here. I think a lot of people are getting over to the site right now.
Yeah, everybody got that. So
I didn't do anything. I would have gone all in on Shayna.
Wait, you didn't do anything, or you?
No, I forgot. Like, I just, like, I was like, oh my
you
God,
didn't even
watching.
Like sign up.
Not this time around.
Oh, I'll just gonna say, if you had signed up, then you would have been hired. Yeah. Like, all you had to do was just sign up.
I just totally forgot.
So here's the thing. You get $200 to play the game. Melissa has 83 left.
I split between Carson, Cynthia, and Shayna.
Oof.
So that was just a bad move, but I had faith and I was doing pretty well, and then I did terribly. So
yeah. Well, luckily you're not the worst, Melissa. You're only the second worst.
Thank God. It just was not a good. It was not good. Like it. Yeah. I thought that they would do decent, maybe, but no. I was not expecting Shayna to leave. I'll tell you that.
All right. Well, let's run through some of the other questions here on the survey. We have rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite, and I want you guys to guess who is the favorite and who is the least favorite on the board here. What do you think?
Lamar is at the top.
Lamar favorite.
Mm-hmm. And who's the least favorite?
Todrick.
I think Todrick.
You are both correct on both counts. Mm-hmm. All right. So yes, Lamar in first place after last week. Carson was in first place. Carson did make second place.
That's what I thought.
Still.
What else are they going
to
do?
Right. It may surprise you, but at the same time, it's like, who else?
Yeah.
Cynthia is third by a hair over Misha. And then a slight drop before Todd, and then a big drop for Todrick in last place for the favorite player award. I asked the audience to rate the episodes this week. Last week, the episodes got a 6.2 rating. This week, a 5.0, which I don't love the way, you know, obviously things turned out in a way that people didn't enjoy. I think the episodes have been actually okay for the most part. There were a couple of clunkers in there. The 2-hour episodes are still not serving me. And I think the Sunday episode was good this week. There was definitely one that I was like, oh, the one we just did, the Monday episode was pretty lame. But I think the Sunday episode was pretty good. Even though it was like emotionally, you know, tumultuous, like in some ways that's a good thing, I think. if an episode moves you, it's better than when I'm falling asleep. But you know, what are you going to do?
But watching that veto competition yesterday, I can't believe how much I didn't care about watching it. I was just like, I don't care. It's a lot. Oh, a live veto is usually exciting. And I was like, oh, she's sitting on the side. The only person I care whether or not they win or not. I was totally checked out. So
we just got a visitor in the Twitch chat. Dan Giesling joining us in the chat. What's up, Dan?
Hey, we name checked him in the.
I did.
In this podcast,
yes, so. I said that. You know, Dan Giesling, diamond in the rough, one of the few people to be very good at the game and also not be mean to people.
And also just like keep it game. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very nice. Dan, we need you.
So funny.
All right. So yeah, an actual celebrities here.
That's
crazy. So I asked the audience to rate the feeds this week. They gave them a 4.1 compared to the 4.4 last week. So pretty similar. I mean, there was some kind of exciting stuff, but it was also like not stuff that people wanted to see. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, feeds have not been great this whole season. But definitely recently feeds have not been good. And the one joy I've been getting from the feeds is Lamar, like just being so over Todrick at this point. That's really like all that we've got. So, you know, and also it feels like he's the one person who's willing to like call people out on their like BS. Like, you know, when Todrick was implying or was saying like, well, do you really want like a blonde white girl to win? And Lamar's like, I don't care about like skin color. And Todrick's like, well, yeah, obviously not. And Lamar's like, you're the one who brought it up. Like, you just said that. I didn't say it. Like, and I just like the fact that he just kind of like will call people out. Cause that's, I guess, part of the good thing about him just like not caring about the game is like he's willing to just say whatever. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it is refreshing to finally have like somebody like kind of act as our voice in some points, you know, and just kind of like say what we're thinking some of the time, even if, you know, he's not super great at the game. But yeah, at least there's that.
Dan made sure to clarify he is not watching Celebrity Big Brother. Correct choice, probably. But apparently somebody is pretending to be me on Twitch, so he's letting me know. So there you go.
That's crazy.
Dan being a bro, looking out for me. All right. So, rate the season as a whole so far, I asked the audience, and they gave the season a 6.0 last week. A 4.1 this week. Honestly, I expected lower, but what are you going to do?
Because Carson, we had so much hope and excitement because we wanted to be excited with Carson and he get the robe and, you know, new sheriff in town. We're like, yes, new sheriff in town. Like we really wanted to live in this fantasy of like what a Carson head of household was going to be. And it's so polar opposite to what I could have ever even thought I wanted. I'm surprised it's not lower. Like I'd be like, oh, this season's terrible because all my faith and hopes are completely ruined and gone.
Rate the competitions this week. The audience gave a 4.7, down from the 5.7 last week. I would say, again, I'm not super upset with the competitions themselves. But obviously the results of the competitions, maybe not the favorite. But, you know, again, what are you going to do?
I mean, I like that puzzle Jenga-y kind of, not Jenga,
yeah, it was
but
fine.
Tetris-y. I would have liked to be like watching it to see like who was getting it, but I wasn't caring. So
who cares?
This is just a person that looks like me on Twitch, apparently.
Oh,
not pretending to be me. Just he said someone's cloning you, and I was like, oh, that's weird.
Are they live? You're watching. No,
this is just a person that that looks like me. That he's
discovered.
Yes.
You agree with the person.
This does not look like you. It's that classic thing where someone's like, I found someone who looks just like you. And then you're like, that doesn't look like me at all. Wait, what?
Maybe the hair a little bit. I could see it.
Maybe when you had like longer hair.
Yeah, longer hair for sure. Yeah. All right. What an aside here.
Yeah.
Go find Dan's tweet and tell me what you think. Do you agree?
Does that look like Taryn?
I asked the audience, with Catan out of the game, what rating would you give him as a player? The audience said a 2.9 out of 10 for Catan as a player. And you know what? This is another one where it's like Catan wasn't really even a player. So I almost didn't even include the question.
Yeah, probably give him like a one.
How do you rate him as a player? He didn't play. You know?
He didn't play for 1 second. And the only thing he did do that was play was say, no, I want to go home.
Or like, what?
Like, put me on the block. So yeah, no.
Yeah. I said, with Kirkpatrick out of the game, what rating would you give him as a player overall? And the audience said a 4.9, which I personally think is high for somebody that backdoored himself. Even with the grading curve.
But I think though with him that what Todrick was saying about like how he was going to be perceived and his family, like I think that really weighed heavy on him and that he didn't want to necessarily play anymore. And so he was hoping that doing this noble move was going to redeem himself in the eyes of everybody that's watching. And so I think that's probably why he kind of threw in the towel as opposed to like really making a terrible mistake. I think that if he wasn't like, oh, I need to get out of here and I need to fix this and I need to at least have like a little bit of a hero arc over here. If that wasn't, I think that was more of his intention as opposed to like, I'm making a big move and I think that we're going to get away with it. Like, I think he was like, I want to make a good move for my allies and then peace out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With Shayna out of the game, what rating would you give her as a player overall? The audience went with a 7.0, wow. Which I also think is quite high for somebody that evicted her closest ally only to get evicted by the person she saved the following cycle. Which
it's
is kind
her
of a
fault
rough.
She's playing with dummies.
Wrong one.
It's very frustrating for me because not many people in there even know how to play this game. So that was very confusing.
She shouldn't have done it. I don't care how dumb the people are.
She shouldn't have done it.
She shouldn't have done it.
She shouldn't have done it. I don't think she should have done it. But, you know, I think overall, like, if we're still grading, like, on a curve, I mean, if we're grading, like, normal season, like, I don't think she's a seven player. But I think, like, on Celebrity, like, yeah, I could get behind that rating, even though she did make a mistake.
Yeah. All right. Well, I also asked the audience.
Wait, Dolores in the chat, that clone looks like it could be Taryn's younger brother or child.
Oh, no.
Taryn, could that be your child? Out. Are you old enough to have a teen? Like a 20-year-old? I don't know how old.
Yeah, I would have been, what, 4 years old?
Yeah, like 14 a 4-year-old years old parent.
I don't know. I don't know my own age. As the audience, rank the players in order of who they think America is most likely to vote for as a juror to who they're least likely to vote for as a juror. This is assuming that America replaces Catan, who we do have confirmation is not voting in the jury. Mm-hmm. The audience thinks that the audience thinks that the audience will most likely vote Lamar, top pick on the board, followed
Does
by
it follow the favorite.
Exactly. No, it goes Lamar first, then Carson. I told you Cynthia just beat Misha by a hair in the favorite poll. Well, Misha beats Cynthia by a hair in the who would the audience vote for as a juror poll. So it goes Lamar, Carson, Misha, Cynthia, Todd, and then Todrick at the bottom. Then Kirkpatrick. What might he vote here? The audience says Carson number one for Kirkpatrick, Misha by a hair number two. I feel like Misha would be over Carson personally.
Yeah, I think so because I think he respects game and I think that he also respects Misha. And I don't think he would vote for someone who made such a bad move in getting Shayna out. I mean, he was the cause of Shayna leaving and you can tell that Chris Kirkpatrick really likes Shayna a lot. I mean, he's campaigning for her for America's Favorite. So I don't think he would reward Carson for that. I mean, as much as he probably likes him as a person still, I think he wouldn't give him the win for that. I think he really likes Misha and would give it to her.
And at this point, every single one of them, except for Lamar, is guilty of trash talking Shayna. So, you know, it's not like one of them is cleaner than the other at this point.
Right.
So perhaps Lamar should be number one, but the audience says Lamar number three for Kirkpatrick, followed by Cynthia, then Todd, and then Todrick last. Then for Shayna, the audience says Lamar number one, despite what she said on her way out the door. They did put Todd at number two by a hair. Personally, again, I think in some ways, Todd has said some of the worst things about Shayna. Mm-hmm. They're not as, again, like attention grabbing as Todrick's because they're not as constant and he's not Todrick. But I can't imagine that Shayna will feel good about Todd if she sees any of what he said. So I would personally drop that even lower. And then they have Carson number three, Misha number four, Cynthia number five, and Todrick last. Once again, I mean, for Shayna, it's really like it's no good options.
No. Yeah. I guess just Lamar. But will he get there?
Yeah. All right. I asked who should Carson have targeted during his HOH reign? 81% of the audience says Misha. 17% of the audience says Todrick. And then 0.79 of you said Shayna was the right call. I see you.
Yeah, that was
no.
Right call for what? To lose? To guarantee that you're not going to win the season? I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's not. No.
I asked, who is the best person for Todd to target for his game during this HOH reign? And 43% say Misha is the right decision. 25% say Carson in second place. And 25% also say Todrick. Those are the top three picks. The rest is the rest. This is interesting. Only 1.06% say Lamar is the right choice for Todd to target. If Lamar ends up going home, then 1.06% of the audience will agree with him. Whereas only 0.79 of the audience agreed with Carson's move. So that's the percentage of agreement we have with the moves being made as HOH right now.
Not good.
Who do you want
all
to be
rankings?
Who do you want to be evicted next? 62% say Todrick. They would love for Todrick to go next, followed by Misha, 15%, Cynthia, 10%, Carson, 9%, and Lamar, last place. They don't want to see him go. Only 2.1% want Lamar to go next. Then finally, who do you want to win HOH next? 82% say Lamar.
Because he's the only one who would like go against Misha and Todrick. He's the only one who said that.
Yeah. Then Carson with 8%, Misha with 5%, Todrick with 3%, and Cynthia in last place, this time with 2%. So Cynthia is actually the worst person to win HOH, according to the audience. So there you go. That's the survey.
All right. Man, I agree with them.
The audience is on the finger on the pulse this time.
Yeah, the audience absolutely. Is up. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's what we've got for the roundtable this week. I hope you all enjoyed this. I hope it was cathartic. I hope Melissa's ranting helped you in some way. There's a couple of Twitter Easter eggs from this podcast. So go check out the Twitters at Armstrong Taryn. It's Melissa with 3 A's. Chantel, where can people find you? Where's all your things?
All my things are all over the place, but if you go to at ShanFranFran on Instagram, all my socials are there. On Twitter, it's at Shan___Fran. So I have 3 underscores there. And then obviously my YouTube channel is Reality Realist with 3 S's. So lots of 3 things going on, and I'm all around the town or the internet town.
Well, I will, of course, be live tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happens today on the Celebrity Big Brother live feeds. Tomorrow night, we'll have an episode. I'll be live on Twitch watching the episode with all of you. Make sure you tune in for that. And then after the episode, we'll recap it on Rob as a podcast here. And then we're just going to keep it running because Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday are all episodes. And the finale is next Wednesday. So tune in for all of the Big Brother coverage. And then Canadian Big Brother, CBB, not really. Big Brother Canada is going to come up just a week after the finale of Celebrity Big Brother. So if this has left a bad taste in your mouth, cleanse your palate with some Big Brother Canada. BB Can 10 coming up. If you haven't watched it before, you should watch it. BB Can 9 was a good time, and you're not going to want to miss this next attempt here with BB Can 10. You can also find my YouTube stuff again, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Check out the Raised by Wolves podcast if you're have any interest in that show. We're having a lot of fun over there, and that's about what we have for you. So thank you once again for joining us here tonight, and I will see all of you next time.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact seeker and a truth teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.